Shalom, everybody. Good to see you all. I would like, honestly, sincerely, since I am the speaker, I should confess, I did not do a good job last time. No. And I, in a way, I have to request apology for the bad work that I did. And it was not because of the lack of not being prepared. It's the thought, it's extremely difficult to digest and be able to transfer. I would like to retract a little bit back. We said that there is an energy force called Yaakov, who is our forefather. He's the third our forefather, and he is the element, the energy that reveals Emet. We explained that God started with energy force of a name called Terach, to distill, brought about an energy, looked for a vessel, a capable energy that moves, is continuously in movement of seeking truth, Emet. This energy finalizes into a name called Yaakov. And that's why the Torah calls 10 emet to Yaakov. That means give emet to Yaakov. Yaakov is the owner of emet. Now, what we understood, that Yaakov, by its energy, recognize that in order for him to be successful in the task that God has given him, he has to limit himself. He has to learn. What was Yaakov had to learn? Because when Yaakov left his father after receiving the bracha, he was 60 years old. And he went to 14 years, exactly 14 years, to school called School of Shem and Ever. There were two people. Shem was the son of Noah. And Ever was another one in the line of Noah, that these two knew the secret of the world from the beginning to the end. Yaakov went for 14 years. 7 years he went and studied under the name, under the force of Shem, which is the first son of Noah. And why he went 7 years and learned and studied under the, let's say, teachership, or he was his rabbi, in order for Yaakov to make Shem for himself, name for himself. What it means, name? Your name is your vessel. Your name defines your vessel. If your name is Isaac, or Abraham, or Sarah, or Rachel, the energy force of Rachel is the frame of your neshama. The energy force of Yaakov becomes the frame of your neshama, your soul. Those names in the Torah, they defined energy. Yes, there has been a chariot that established that energy on the earth. Like Abraham established the energy of chesed, love, in the earth. Yitzchak, the energy of gevurah, judgment. And Yaakov, the energy of Tiferet, balance, beauty, emet into this world. But however, the name, explains the process of how to achieve that standard. And that's why we take names from Torah. Why we take names from Torah? Because the only thing that I know it's emet, and I admit and accept as truth, is the Torah. Because only the Word of God, the Creator, the Source, the Light, is the truth. Everything else has a layer different than the truth. Now, we read that yesh pesha, deception in Yaakov. We read in the Torah, and Torah doesn't hide it, that God created an energy force called pesha, deception. Why God created an energy called deception, and Yaakov is master of it? Follow. Yaakov is a master of deception. Why? Why God created the energy called deception? Fraud. Now what is fraud? We at least 15 minutes we talked. We do practically everything in our life, every one of us that's sitting in this room, that what is inside us and what comes out of our mouth is two different things. That means fraud is defined that your motive inside is different what you show outside. That means your inside and outside are two different things. We brought the politics. What is politics? It's that you really don't want to, you say something, but you have an ulterior motive. And if your inside and outside is different, is not the same, is not emet. Because emet is aleph, is the first letter of the Hebrew. Taf is the last letter of Hebrew. And mem is the middle. So that means from the beginning to the middle to the end, is if it is all emet, you have established emet in your outside, inside. Your everything about you is defines an energy force called emet, then you are truly correct. Otherwise, you are fraud. We eat, we enjoy, because I don't want to lose the possibility of enjoying, because I want to be successful, I come and I say, God, you know what? I join you. A spirituality. I want to become part of you. I want to balance myself. Why do I do it? To achieve more. Why do I want to achieve more? Why I am ready to really practically make myself sick working hard to make money? Why? Other than I want because I want to have a comfortable life? Isn't my ulterior motive is to enjoy my life? When I present myself as a gentleman that wants to get married, do I honestly say everything that I have in my heart? Do I honestly show myself the way I am, honestly? At least he loves animals. And that's my favorite animal. Do I honestly show myself truly who I am? Do I say all the truth about myself to the person that I want to get married? Or vice versa? If I dress and I put in my brassiere or whatever, the corset or whatever I do in order to show myself other than what I am, is that not considered deception? Don't we deceive people and don't tell them exactly what it is, our interior motive of doing those things? Oh, everything we explain correctly. We even lie and we say this is a white lie. Look, we gotta sometimes lie, because if we don't lie, we can destroy somebody's life. Don't we use those terminologies? Isn't this deception? That's the world of Yaakov. But why God created deception? Since we are by nature lazy people, we are lazy creatures, we want the shortest, easiest way to achieve the best. If I don't have to work hard, I won't work hard, but if I can make more money, it's better. So I use the force that God has embedded in me as a Jew, as a Bnei Israel, the son of Israel, how to deceive. What's this force that God has embedded in a person that he says he's 10 Emet Le'akov? He's carrier of Emet, but yet he's the master of deception. Now, prior Yaakov comes to Eretz Israel last week, we explained that he really went down one night and sat down and went into himself and had a good row with himself until morning. The Torah says he fought the angel. And then in the top of the morning, when the light came in, the angel told him, let me go. And he says, no, you have to confirm that the bracha, this energy that God has given me, and I got it from my father, and I bought it from my brother, confirm that this belongs to me. Now what all that is all about? We said, yes, there is Pesha Be'Yaakov. Yes, there is sin in Yaakov. We do sin, because we are deceiving people. We live in the world of deception. However, when you become Israel, when you go through an activity called Yabok, Ibur, you go through a channel, you go through a tunnel, you go through a process of coming from Yaakov to become Israel. There is no Pesha in Israel. Why? Let's go back why first God created deception. Right from the first day of creation, when the snake came and the Chava came, God created this fight between Kedusha, that means holiness, and Tum'ah, unholiness. Incomplete. Yaakov sends a message to his brother and says, Lus gartim Yaakov Lavan. In a very simple form, Yaakov was able to do 613 mitzvot of Torah. What are the mitzvot of Torah? God gives the light to us for one purpose, to be able to use it, not abuse it. Use it to be constructive. How do I get this light? We explained that by limiting myself, by putting limits for myself, I am capable, because if I don't have limits, what happens to me? If I have limits, I can kill myself. I can destroy myself. The only way that I can achieve is I set limits for myself. I define. I limit myself in order to achieve. Now, what kind of a limitation brings me to state that Yaakov can convert from the world of deception to the world of emet truth, that there is no deception? Because in Israel, there is no deception. First, we said that the Torah is telling us at whatever level you are, you have to break the barrier and go and become a higher level. Don't think you achieved anything. At any level you achieve, there is a higher level. You cannot quit at the level you are. That's number one. Number two, you don't want continuously to live in the world of deception. You want to break the barrier and go to a world that there is no more deception. It's the truth, which is called Israel. Yaakov wanted to go through this channel. What do we call the Torah, this channel? Last week, called Yabok. Yabok is Yud Bet Kuf. What Yud Bet Kuf, we said he understands. Yud is Yichud. Bet is Bracha. Kuf, Kedusha. Three things I have to go through in order to be able to come from the domain of deception into the world of Israel, that there is no deception. First, I have to limit myself, as Yaakov limit himself, with 613 mitzvot. What the mitzvot do? What really a mitzvah is? It's just limiting yourself. But the way that God has said it, not the way I say it. By telling me, keep Shabbat, do I get limited? Yes. When I achieve limitation, what happens? What happens when I am limited? What happened when Jacob reached the ultimate of doing 613 mitzvot and he's now ready to enter to Eretz Israel? What did he do? First thing he did, he cleaned account with who? Esav. Who is Esav? His twin brother. They both were born and they grow up together in the same womb. Who is this Esav? It's my Yetzer Hara. My animal aspect. My natural energy within me. What is the characteristic of this animal within me? Exactly like Esav. Everything you do, you kill, you steal, you cheat, you lie. As long as you get what you want, it's a fair game. Don't we do the same? Every one of us in a different degree. If you steal, your inside and your outside is not the same. You live in a world of deception. The reason that you do not or I do not accept the mitzvot of the Torah to limit myself, because at the meantime I benefit from the world of deception. It does me good. If I am a kid, I get away with few lies, and it's fine. I cheat my parents. I really don't tell them the whole truth. And if I am already grown up, I want to get married, but I want to get married with the girl that I want. But the girl that I want, the requirement that honestly if the girl wants from me, I cannot satisfy. So what do I do? I pretend. Now what is pretending again? Deception. Both. The girl and the boy. Now, as long as we want to live in the world of Yaakov, we have to deal with Esav. There's an Esav that I have to continuously to deal with. And this Esav has only one intention. And he has let know his intention to Jacob very clearly. What is the intention of Esav? I want to kill you. I hate you. Very simple. I don't want you to exist. the day that Jacob was able first to take care of the malach, the angel, that is the energy source of Esav, and then next day came face to face to Esav, and made a deal with Esav, with his Yetzer Hara, with his animal within him. The moment he did, what happened to Esav? What happened to Esav? Gone! So we understand that for you to go through the process of Yaakov to become Israel, don't think because your mother is Jew, so therefore you are a Jew. You are a potentially a Yehudi. You are potentially living in a world that Jacob worked at it and let you simanim, left you signs for you how to be able to get out of it and across the Yabok, across the river, and go to the Eretz. That means Ratzon of Israel. When your Ratzon, what is Ratzon? Your will. As long as your will is the will of Yaakov, what this will is really has to deal with? Pesha. Deception. But the moment that the will of the Yaakov converts to your, the will of Israel, that means it's not anymore your will is desire to receive for oneself alone as Esav is, but you have been able to control the Esav within yourself, to come into an understanding with the Esav, to let Esav know what is his domain, what is his purpose as far as you are concerned, and to come to a Eretz Israel, that means to a Ratzon of Israel. What is a Ratzon of Israel? What is the will of Israel? What is, we said, Israel means? Bravo. And what it means, Yasharel, directly to God. That means I deal directly with God. For what? To do what? What's my purpose? What's my general purpose as a Jew? How can I get close to God? No, that mitzvot is only given to me in order for me, myself, to limit myself. Because every mitzvah is there to limit myself. And I don't know in what aspects to limit myself. So God gave me 613 ways of how to put limitation. In order for what? To be able to control the Esav within me. What Esav wants? No limits. Esav says, what are you setting limit for me? Why, if I want to enjoy myself this way, I should be able to enjoy myself. It's my body. Anything I do to my body is my body. I can do with my life whatever I want. Is that a true fact, a statement? It is? It's your body, is your body? No. So therefore you cannot say, Esav says. He says, look, if I can kill and get whatever I want, I'll kill. If I have to lie, I'll lie. It's okay. If I can do it, and I can get away with it? Why not? That's Esav. But they say, look, there is God. So what God? But look, there is a law. So what law? My law. That's the world of deception. And there is a way to get out of it, he says. First, you have to limit yourself. And what is Israel? It's when you come out of the limit and you make yourself unlimited. That means what? Your ratzon, your desire, your will becomes the will of God. And since God is limitless, as soon as you acquire His ratzon, which is ratzon lashpia, you become limitless. But you cannot reach that limitless, that immortality, that never ending, that infinitum, unless first you limit yourself. And when you limit yourself, as Yaakov did, then you can convert to become Israel. Because otherwise you cannot control your ratzon, your will. How many times you made promises and you didn't keep your promise? To yourself, never mind to others. Others is easy to break. But to yourself, and you can't keep it. You sit down, you explain it. You decept yourself. Now we understand something very beautiful. God did not give the force of deception for me to go and cheat other people. But the Jews are very smart. They always find the easy way out. God gave them a gift, how to be able to deceive, but to deceive the Esav within themselves. How am I going to get the Esav that within me to come to Bet Knesset with all his heart? Come on. You tell me. How are you going to bring your animal into the Bet Knesset to keep Mitzvot of Torah and to keep Shabbat with all his heart? That's what we say. Va'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha b'chol levaveicha. How can you bring your Esav into the... You are coming. He says, hey, Yosef, yes? Are you going to the synagogue? Yeah. Are you going to pray to God? Yeah. You think your life is going to be better? Come on. I'll take you now somewhere better. You tell me. Go pray. Go pray all your life. Let me see what you're going to get. Let me see with prayer what's going to happen. Go keep Shabbat. That is, your life is going to become better. Your life is going to become more difficult. You're going to be limited. You're not going to be free. Look, you are free now. You can go anywhere, eat anything, do whatever you want. And there is not conscience bothering you. Forget about the conscience. That's the Esav. Now, we as a Jew, we have 13 axioms that we confirm, we accept. And one of the axioms is that there is Gilgul Neshamot. That means there is a returning soul. I've been here. I'm sure even young people have deja vu. Suddenly sitting down, oh, I somehow I know this person. I've seen this person somewhere. Or I have been this place I don't know. This place looks familiar. Maybe I've been. Those are deja vu. Where this deja vu comes? Now what is conscience? When we say conscience. Conscience is that energy force, that knowledge that you have acquired in all the process of Gilgulim, that you have come to this existence. Every time you come to this body, you acquire a certain knowledge. You see and you learn. You get affected by the environment of that era and time. Now, how many times you have been around? Can you guess? How about 1,000 times? I tell you the following, that for sure you were at the bottom of the mountain of Sinai when God gave the Torah. If you are a Jewish soul, for sure you were there. For sure. Many of us, we like to go to Italy, and we like Rome more than Milan. Some of us, we love to go to Spain. I mean, we look forward to go and visit the country of Spain or France. Out of curiosity, we like to go to Africa. Out of curiosity. But lately, they are neshamot that they have been in Africa too. The point, I go to Rome and suddenly realize, wow, I kind of feel very comfortable in this place. I love Rome. I go to any other place, I don't feel as good as, oh, you throw me in any street of Rome, somehow I know how to go back. And I know how to go through the streets. So that means I have been once upon a time, in one lifetime, in Rome. I want to get somewhere else with you guys. Why it is so hard for a Jew to become a Jew? To act like a Jew and behave like a Jew and believe he's a Jew. And believe that he has a responsibility of a Jew. It's hard. We don't like this limitation. Okay, now you banged me my head. I see and the old peers effect and all this situation effect. Okay, I'm going to keep kosher. But don't push me anymore. Don't talk to put a kippah. Don't. Cutting my hair and I'm going to put a wig and all these things. I'm not in these games. I mean, who told you to do all these things? There is an energy force called Isav within us that we have to recognize how it's so strong. It does not allow me to see the truth. And that will bring us to understand what Chanukah is. And why we need Chanukah. And why Chanukah and Purim are the Mo'adim, are the times that they will stay forever. One day Shabbat will finish. One day Rosh Hashanah will finish. One day there won't be any more Pesach or Shavuot. There won't be even necessary to have the Torah anymore. The Torah is totally will be digested within our soul and neshama. But the Purim, the Chanukah, the Chachamim tell us that will stay, and we understand why it's going to stay. And I want to make it very simple. But the whole process again is that how I can achieve a help to go through the process of from Yaakov to become Israel. Because until I don't become Israel, I have not started my spiritual work. Yaakov, it's outside of Eretz Israel. For me to become into Eretz Israel and have a ratzon lahashpia, ratzon of a Israel, Yashar, El, I am required to become and pass and cross this path . I had two pieces of papers here. Wow. What happened to it? Has something nice for you guys. Would you forgive me for 1 second? This is 2 yellow pages. Totally got lost. Now, I don't know what happened to it. Wow. Very interesting. Was right on here. Okay. Never mind. What I wanted to tell you, one thing in our life is extremely important, is to have peace of mind, to have peace in my life, to have shalom. And in our most important prayers is that God give me shalom, give me peace in my life. I want peace in my mind and peace in my heart. I want to see peace in my totality of life. We said shalom, really in Hebrew, numerical value is 376. And to our surprise, Isav, which by now we understood what kind of energy is 376. Now when am I going to have shalom? As long as there is this Isav within me, I don't see shalom. There is no peace. A person that lives in the world of deception cannot have peace. This peace is when I convert the Isav. I harness the energy of Esav within myself, then I am entitled to have peace in my life. Chanukah is that energy force, the light of Chanukah. And by the way, I really have 2 menorah that I have to give to someone. So do me a favor. It's a mitzvah to take it. So take it. I have 2 menorah, and if you know somebody that you can really give it to and light the candle for them, I've done a big mitzvah. All the mitzvot that you have is one side. When you bring light to the light of somebody, it's the highest level of mitzvah. So one good person has brought 2 menorah for somebody to take it and give it to somebody. So who is going to be ready to be a channel, either for himself or herself or somebody else? Please talk to me after. Now, when we go to Tanya, Tanya brings about a very important question. He says, how was this Ness of Chanukah? There was a menorah in Beit HaMikdash. You know, everybody knows where the Beit HaMikdash was? Yes? Now, Beit HaMikdash first started from a ohel, started from a tent in the desert, that God gave a specific structure, measurement, how to build this house so godliness, holiness can reside into this frame. Ask me the question. It's important. The Aaron was in there. There was Mazbeach in there. Aaron Kohen Gadol was there. Menorah was there. Lechem Panim, the breads, 12 breads were there. There were the sacrifices, were the outside. The Katoret is, the Katoret Samim was there. Whole lot of things. Everything in this structure explains how a house of godliness should be built. That was the tent in the desert. But then came David HaMelech. He prepared all the raw material and the land that requires to do a final structure. And until they in Eretz Israel, Shlomo, the son of David, built such a house that in there acted Kohen Gadol, and there was Kodesh Kodeshim, there was a room, there was menorah, there was the sacrifice, everything that the godliness, the Shekhinah, the godliness appeared for the first time from Shamayim into the earth. That is Beit. Beit means the house of Mikdash, that means Kedusha, holiness. Now in there was a menorah. Menorah looked like this. Had a candle holder that has 7 branches. 3 on the right side, and 3 on the left side, and 1 in the middle. How many in total? 7. Why 7? Because 7 relates to the world of natural world, called the world of 7, the world of nature. 7 days, 7 colors, 7 notes, 7 rivers, 7 oceans, 7 shamayim, 7 notes of music, 7 colors of rainbow, all the 7s. Now, when the Roman came, when the Greek came, Greek had a philosophy. What was the philosophy of the Greek? Greek did not say, look, Jews, I don't want you to study Torah. So study the Torah, the logic of the Torah. Discuss the logic. When was the period, and I would like you to know the history, when was the period that the Greek came to Israel? In the world history. That was exactly the time the biggest university in the world was established in Greece. And who was the head of that university? Called Aristotle. What was the philosophy of Aristotle? Come on, we live in it. Aristotle came and he is the highest deceptor of the all. He says, what is this for you to accept the command of God? You tell me, because this oil in this glass is signed by the Kohen, and this oil in this glass is not signed by Kohen, this is acceptable and is kosher. This is because it is not signed, it's not kosher. This is ridiculous. So Jew, stop doing ridiculous thing. God is God. We accept God there is. Why do you cut yourself? Why do you circumcise yourself? Why you keep Shabbat? Why do you say Shabbat is more important than the other days? Every day is God created. So why Shabbat it should be different than Friday? Why do you have to circumcise yourself? Why you should not enjoy... I told you the story of the wife of the king and the Aristotle. Aristotle came, said, look, when I am the head of the university, I put the head of the professor, the hat of a professor. But when there is a beautiful woman, I have the opportunity to enjoy myself, why not? He's the professor over there. But here I'm a man, I should enjoy myself. Look. How many of you are Persian? Do you think the culture of Persian culture has affected your way of thinking to some degree? Yes? Good. When you were in Spain, if your Gilgul was in Spain, did your mind get affected by Spaniard way of life? Yes. When there was the rulership of Napoleon, and the culture of France, and you were in France or Portugal or England, did the culture of British and the France and the Spaniard and the Russian and the Genghis Khan and the all this history that we have been affected us or not? Did it affect my consciousness or not? When I was in Greece, did the philosophy of Greece affected my mind or not? Yes. You tell me. Why do you work so hard to make money? For what?
The American dream.
For what? American dream. For what?
For ourselves. To be happy.
To be happy. And what philosophy brought you to this conclusion that making money is gonna make you happy? Who deceived you so much? The Greek. Not the society, the Greek. The Greek. Everything we learned, everything we behave today is the result and effect of the Greek. Look at the Israelis. They love more than anybody else to go to Greece and enjoy themselves. And lately, the Greek is not really that much crazy. You have to go to Thailand, and Thailand is really the bottom of the pit. You can do anything you want. Isn't that true? Every Israeli soldiers, you are Israelis. After you finish the Tzava, after you finish the army, where do you go?
Rome.
And you went to Rome. But 90% of the young go where? Why they go to Thailand? Why Thailand? It's total chaos. Absolutely boundless to the infinite. Anything goes and anything is good. Just break all the boundaries. That's us. That's the Greek philosophy that is covering us. And every time
the Greek came to Israel.
Oh, that's right. And you know what? They forced it on you. And you know what you did? Your father took you and did the mitzvah of Brit Milah. It's not you, it's all of us. So the Jew wants to be part of the society. He took the shpikala and saw it back. He says, you know what? Make an operation on me. I want it back. My father took it away from me without my permission. And you know, when I go to bath with all the men, they look at me, they laugh at me because I'm a Jew. I don't want to be laughed, so put it back. That's a Jew. Exaggerating it. The Jew cultivates it better than anybody else. The Jew cultivates the deception better than anybody else. Look at the Jews has been in any country in the world. Where this country finally end up to be. Everywhere that the Jews went, that country reached the ultimate of money, power, everything. As soon as the Jews left, what happened? The whole thing went down. Because they have this energy within. We are the builders. Now, comes, let's go back to Hanukkah. What's the purpose of this Hanukkah? This weekend after Shabbat. What is there that I can use to get rid of all those layers that I went through so many gilgulim, so many times I came out? How can I break it? How can I reach the truth within me? How can I recognize what is my... How can I get rid of this Esav so I can bring peace to my life? Because I believe, for as long as I am young and strong, I believe my way is the right way. And who is my way? It's the Esav way. Esav is not going to allow me to go the right way. He's not going to see me to see the truth. That's a fact. For as long as I am Yaakov, I have to deal with this Pesha. The only way for me to come out of it is to break this shell and to become Israel. And what is to become Israel? To accept the limitation. And to accept that my will is not for my purpose. That God gave me deception is not to deceive another Jew or another country or another people, but to deceive my own animal within me. How are you going to bring your animal really willingly to the Bet Knesset unless you deceive him? Honestly. How you really going to be a man of truth if you don't deceive the Yetzer Hara within you to walk the truth? Hanukkah. It says there is a difference between the lamp of menorah that was in Bet HaMikdash and the Hanukkah that we make. How many candles we put on Hanukkah? Eight. How many lights were in?
Seven.
So these two, first of all, differ. Now, it says that as soon as the Greek came to the Bet HaMikdash, and the first thing they did is they didn't destroy anything. But they went to the oil, and they made all the oil tameh. They didn't destroy the menorah. But as soon as they did the oil tameh, and as soon as the Greek came and they made the Bet HaMikdash tameh, were there any more menorah? Did they light the menorah anymore? No. Which means, the menorah that was in Bet HaMikdash was able to be put on and to put every morning Kohen Gadol did, when there was Kedusha and holiness in Bet HaMikdash, in the house of God. As soon as it was Tameh, the house of God, the menorah did not have any more meaning to put on. What time they put on the menorah in Bet HaMikdash?
What time?
Daytime. What time do we put the Hanukkah light on? Why night? The day that they put the menorah, because the circumstances and the house of Beit HaMikdash was Kadosh. Where do they put the menorah? We said the inside of Beit HaMikdash. Where do we put the Chanukiah? So the difference between menorah and Chanukiah, number one, is this one has 7 branches, this one has 8 branches. This one, the menorah, is lit up the daytime. The Chanukah is the nighttime. This one has, what else?
Inside.
This one is outside. Okay, let's find out why. The inside one can only be put on if there is Kedusha. If there is no Kedusha, holiness, it's Tameh, you cannot put it on. But is the outside, this world that we are living, the world of outside, outside. What kind of a world we are living in?
Chaos.
Give me a more name, better name for it. I'm looking for
deception.
Deception. So we see that why it's we put it at night. What is night is the meaning? Is when the emet, the truth is choshech, concealed. So you bring that light at night in order to reveal what it is concealed by darkness. The difference again between Chanukah and menorah is that the Chanukah is strong enough to fight the world of chaos, the world of deception. What? Menorah is not able to fight the energy of deception.
This menorah.
This menorah can be put on when there is a Beit HaMikdash and there is a holiness, and you can put it on. There is a Kohen Gadol, there is an oil that is not Tameh, everything is good. But the menorah, the Chanukiah of Chanukah, is at night to be put on for purpose of to reveal what is not revealed. Who is the stronger? Chanukah is a stronger light than that light that was in Beit HaMikdash. Now, what is the purpose of this Chanukiah? Why it's 8? 7, we said, is the world of nature. 8, above nature. So in order to fight the energy of Pesha, deception, what do you need? Can you fight with the forces of world of 7? A world of nature? You can't. Where do you go? Above the nature. What is the power of above nature? Bravo. What's that name? Hashem is everywhere, both inside and outside. No? What is the world above the world of nature? It's called the world of Emunah, faith. How can you go above this nature? It's when you tap into the world of
Emunah.
When the Chashmonaim went, one father and 6 sons, 5 sons, altogether 6. 5 and 6?
5 and 1.
They went war against empire? Big empire? With a lot of soldiers and a lot of guns? Based on what? Based on Emunah. And really, if somebody goes to fight, 6 people go to fight a whole big army, what do we call them? Call them crazy. What they do really? I mean, they're going to kill themselves. That's a suicide. What is this kind of a suicide in Kabbalah or in spirituality we call? Mesirat Nefesh. What is Mesirat Nefesh? That means I give up my life for sake of someone else. But is God wants really for me to give up my life for Him? No. What is aspect of Mesirat Nefesh that the Hashmonaim, Matityahu and his sons, they did in order to acquire such a powerful force to defeat an empire? Because Esav is an empire, as far as I'm concerned. How they acquired this energy? By Mesirat Nefesh. But what is Mesirat Nefesh? The moment that you give up what your pleasure is for sake of godliness, it's your pleasure. It's your idea. It's your will. It's your time. It's your mind. It's your logic. And you are ready to cancel your logic against the logic of God. That is called Mesirat Nefesh. Then you are able to receive a light called a light of Hanukkah. What is that light of Hanukkah? It's not just putting the candle. It's not to go and have sugvaniot. Tol sugvaniot have an absolutely Kabbalistic meaning. It's not to get this thing and turn it around and say, parties. And get It's not Christmas. It's not business. It's not politics. It's not geopolitics. It's the light that gives you and me. Because we said the following. We said Yaakov had to go through a process to become Israel. And every one of us, we want to go through this process. The least for a reason that I don't want to live in the world of deception. We said for that, we have to go through a process called Yabok. We said Yud of Yabok is Yichud. Yichud means what? Unification. Unification. Bet Bracha. Or what is Bracha? Or what is blessing? Beracha is that energy force, is the only energy force that can help me to do my tikkun, labriut, to do my work. You know what beracha is? Whenever you put your hand in your pocket, you will bring out what you need. What money? Whatever I need. Whatever I need. That's a beracha. Whenever I need something, is there at the right time, at the right place. That's a bracha. You know who brought the concept of money? Greek. Don't forget that.
What about Egypt?
That Greek is believing everybody else. We discuss right now. We say, yeah, we want to bring democracy. Who brought democracy in the world?
Greeks.
Greeks. Do not forget. Our life is evolved with the philosophy of Greeks. But we are not Greeks, we are Jews. Yes, of course it's good. It sounds good. Because the Greek says, don't accept the oil of Malchut. Don't accept the godliness. Why do you have to do the work of God? What is Greek is telling me? The Greek says, why do you say this oil is different than this oil? Because he says, God said so. He said, what do you mean God said so? He says, because this is the law of God. He says, but it doesn't make sense. He says the law of God is divided into two parts. There are some laws that make sense. Don't kill. Don't lie. Don't steal. It makes sense. You don't need to prove it. But he says, you know what? Don't mix the cotton with the wool. I mean, why not? I mean, what's the difference between this oil? This is called olive oil, cold press, virgin first press. And this one is olive oil, cold press, first press, and it's virgin oil, and it has a K. This and this? What's the difference?
$5.
$5! I mean, you're nuts. Why? Both of them. You know what? This one, for the K, I gotta pay $5 more. Who makes me talk like this? Really? Follow. Yes, I know it's funny. But the truth. The truth is that common sense tell me this way. But because God said so. And I don't know the reason for it. I know some of His laws. I know the reasoning between some of His laws. It makes sense. But there are some laws that yet I do not, because of these layers of Kilipot on me, I don't have yet the capability of understanding. He says, before you really want to take an egg off a bird, you gotta go up, let the mother go away, and then you can pick up the egg and eat it. If the mother is around, still you cannot eat it. What's the logic about this? I will come to this. There are many laws that in the Torah our logic doesn't understand. And the Greek said, don't follow those. Because it doesn't make sense. And since we evolved through these eras, different eras, and every era has affected my consciousness, I have a lot of Greek in me. A Greek is not a Jew. A Greek believes in many gods. They are idol worshippers. A Greek doesn't have no principles of limitation. I'm not talking about this Greek. I'm talking the energy force of Yavan. The philosophy of Aristotle, because Torah is not a philosophy. Torah is a way of life. Torah is in the language of Hora'ah, is to teach me how to reach my destination.
But democracy that the Greek brought to the world was good for the Jewish. It was good for the Jews.
Then if saved, why the Jews brought communism and socialism? Who brought socialism? Who brought communism? Oh, they were the seed. They started it. They cultivated it. Who brought Hamas?
We are.
Bravo! Now I see an honest Jew. Who brought Hezbollah?
What? Some people make mistakes.
Yes. Some Jews make big mistakes. That's correct.
No, but when you talk about the Sabbath, and the Sabbath is bringing us the energy, Why energy, there is good energy and negative energy.
Absolutely agree with you. God bless you.
Why can't we take the good thing out of it and leave the bad thing?
Absolutely. And that's exactly what Hanukkah is teaching me. He said, "You look, first of all, let's finish the Kuf.
Kedusha.
Yichud, unification. And this is Kedusha, which is holiness. Well, I write holy.
Without the W.
With the W. Holy. Whole. It's complete. How do we write holy? Is that makes it better? Yeah, whole as a whole as the E in it, right. Is that makes it better? Very good, thank you. Now, let's go back to this Hanukkah business. In order for me to be able to get rid of this philosophy that keeps me in the world of deception, I need a light force that is beyond the normal light. When Adam was in Gan Eden for 36 hours, He had a light that we call the light of Ganuz, the light that God concealed. With this light, you are able to see from the beginning to the end. Is an insight beyond the light of what we see and we understand, called light of or Ganuz, the light of Ganuz, concealed. We use 36 candles for 8 days of Hanukkah. That is equal to 36 hours that Adam was in Gan Eden and used this light, which will today we call the light of Hanukkah, Zot Hanukkah. Now, this light, this hours, which is 8 days, God introduced me to this light of Ganuz in order to prepare me. What happens if tomorrow Mashiach comes? Honestly. Do you think we can handle it? If the truth is suddenly revealed for you from the beginning to the end, right now, what do you think is going to happen to you? Can you handle it? Can you handle the truth? You cannot. You live in the world of deception. In 24 hours, bang, you are with the truth. What happens to you? Your heart is going to stop. You cannot handle it. So what God does to you? 8 days, slowly, one candle at a time, prepares you. Prepares you what? To get rid of this philosophy of Yavan. Because as long as there is Pesha in you, if the truth comes, who do you think is going to succeed?
Where does the 8 days come from?
Why 8 days and not 7 days? Because we said
above
the nature. But follow your word. We said Yavan. It's the philosophy that is we are entangling with today. Now, how can I really use the goodness of Yavan? Because Yavan could be very good.
What's Yavan?
Greek philosophy. It's not a bad philosophy, really. It only needs to be what? What is the problem of a deceiver? What he cannot be. What a deceiver cannot be. Righteous. Righteous. Now, what is a righteous in Hebrew? Tzaddik. Isn't this called tzaddik? Tzaddi? So put this tzaddi inside. Use the yun. Use the Yavan. Use the philosophy of Yavan. But with righteousness. And then you bring Zion. Then you have Yerushalayim yours. Then you can put the light of Bet HaMikdash. Then you can light up the world of seven. But prior to come to the world of seven, you gotta get rid of the outside. All the illusion that you covered yourself through ages of Galut. What is Galut? It's Choshech. It's darkness. It's when you don't know the truth. So the light of Hanukkah, the candles of Hanukkah, and this is the first year, so I don't want to go in depth to it. But the most important Chag we have is Hanukkah. Because the world of Hanukkah, the light of Hanukkah, gives you the possibility to break through from the world of deception and come to the world of righteousness. Now, all of us sitting here, we are sinners. There is not one of us here that we have not sinned. If we want to become a Jew and a righteous Jew, They call us right today in Israel Baal Teshuvah. What is Baal Teshuvah? It's the owner person who became sincerely to a point to make a Teshuvah. That means to return to God. Said, God, I went right now after my own philosophy. But from today, I decide to make your philosophy my philosophy. This person is called Baal Teshuvah. Now, what is Tzaddik? What is the difference between a Tzaddik and a Baal Teshuvah? Who is higher? Tzaddik? Baal Teshuvah. Baal Teshuvah is by far higher than a Tzaddik. Now, hear me out. This is a very important... This is the idea of Hanukkah. This is the idea of Hanukkah. This is to understand what's the difference between Hanukkah and the menorah.
But you can be a tzaddik and Baal Teshuvah.
Absolutely. You can infuse these two energy together. That's, you're absolutely correct. That's the conclusion. Because the righteous man, does he have to fight with the Esav? He's a tzaddik already. He doesn't have an Esav. And if I was born in a house of a religious house that I never had a chance of have a lobster, and then when I look at a lobster and I love to eat lobsters and oysters, and I look at it and I say no because I made a teshuva, because I decided... Who is the stronger, me or the tzaddik? The tzaddik never had the lobster. He doesn't know how it is taste. He was kosher all his life. So who is plays the more important role? Yes, but then tzaddik has one thing over that Baal Teshuvah doesn't have. What tzaddik has? Bravo. He doesn't have to fight the Esav. He doesn't have fight the Esav. Now, when you become Israel, you have shalom. You see, here we go. You right now says, this is a natural aspect. The animal is always there. What if you convert the animal? As long as you say you don't believe it, are it going to happen? You know who is going to tell you don't believe it? The philosophy. I call it the philosophy. Cannot happen. I look at it ridiculously as I say, wait a minute, one signature is going to make it kosher? It's not the matter of the signature. It's the matter of God said so. I'm not talking about that in our society, unfortunately, they abuse this system. I'm talking about that oil that was in Bet HaMikdash has to have the signature of Kohen Gadol. There is a reason why the Midrash says this. The Torah says that God said that this oil that is used in Bet HaMikdash for menorah has to have, this is the law, the Kohen Gadol has to sign it. Now, the Greek came to the Kohen Gadol. He said, tell me the logic of it. No logic. Why do you do it? Because God said so. How many of us we really are able to say because God said so? You follow? Do you realize the energy that inside me fights it? Not to say it? And yet I say it with all my heart. And I pass exam. That brings me to a point. He says, you raise your hand. You said, God said so. Here is your exam. Hard exam. It's a beautiful exam to pass. That is the light of Hanukkah. To give me the possibility. To be a righteous. And I seen... I fall. I act like a what? Baal Teshuvah. I act like Baal Teshuvah. I become tzaddik. If I fall again, I again become Baal Teshuvah. slowly, slowly drop every year a little bit more, a little bit more. When you have a kid, do you give him first a good steak? Why don't you give a kid that is born a good steak? Thank you very much. How do you introduce steak to the kid? You chop it, but you wait after the milk. You give a little bit taste of bread. You taste him. You chop the, you blend it. You feed him first blended. Then slowly, 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 right? That's the light of Hanukkah. First one light. Then the second light. And every night you sit down and you make a meditation, and next week we are going to open the light here. And all of us, we're going to do the meditation of Hanukkah together. And learn it together. Because that enlightens, gives me the power, gives me the bracha, gives me the yichud, gives me the kedusha to fight the Esav. You ask a person, you kid, why did you do this mistake? What is going to tell you? I didn't know any better. I didn't know any better. We don't know any better. As long as the Esav is there within us, we don't know any better. We think we got it all. We made it. We know it. We are smart. We finished university. I'm a doctor. I'm a lawyer. I am a scientist. I understand. I have brain. Who says that? The Yavan. That's the philosopher in you. And the Yetzer Hara is a good philosopher and a good talker and a good explainer and very smart and but at the same time very stupid. Because he's in to kill you and me. Not interested in Olam Haba, not interested in the next world, not interested in continuity. As a matter of fact, not interested in tomorrow, today. Let me enjoy the best. We'll take care of tomorrow. Now, it continues that because we are in Galut, that means we look outside, we look to Hollywood, we look the TVs, we look all the channels, and we see, and you think we don't affect, it doesn't affect us? Tell me, how much do we go for the style? How much? How much we pay for this style, to stay in style? A lot. I work, not one day, 1 week hard. Hard. To buy one suit. So I can be in style. I want to go to a wedding. I spend enough money to cover one salary of 1 month. I throw one bat mitzvah that cost me 10 years to save, and I spend it overnight. So the people can come and eat. At the end, he says, you know what? The steak was cold, the fish was no good, and the flowers were old. This is how smart we are. And you know what? If I don't throw the party, my neighbor thinks that something is wrong with me. So in order to keep up with Joneses, I have to keep up. It tells me, if I don't keep up, you know, peer pressure and all this problem, I won't have any friends, nobody's going to dance tango with me, and nobody's going to say, you see, you know, in order for me to get married, I need a Mercedes-Benz on my feet. Otherwise, nobody's going to marry me. Stop. To live in the world of deception. A Jew doesn't live in the world of deception. A Jew lives in the world of Torah. Period. Before you know it, you say, ah, you're already an old woman, an old man. You're going to finish it before you can say ABC. The year is finished already. So because we are in this, yes, please. We are.
So, which one is it?
We are in the world of deception, but in this world of deception, what can I do? To bring him out and put a foundation of emet for my life. I go with the force of emet. I establish my life on the basis of emet. I follow the truth. I follow what the Torah tells me, irrelevant of I see, wow, everybody really having fun. Everybody is really enjoying their best, and look where I am.
But you gotta be all by yourself.
Bravo. What else is gonna happen to me? I'm gonna be alone.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna have anything.
Yeah.
Have you spent a Shabbat really with somebody noble Jew? And he is not rich either. But boy, you look at the family and look at the children and look at the mother and father and you see joy in their life. They're not very rich. And you know, they have 17, 18 kids. But boy, there is a lot of joy in their life. Life is hard. They got to work hard for the money. The mother has to work, the father has to work, the children have to work. But boy, when they sit down for a joy, they have joy. They are real. But I show you a lot of people with a lot of money, they cannot use it. As a matter of fact, when they want to go to the bathroom, they have to scream so somebody can take them to the bathroom because they cannot do it on their own.
Yeah, if that can happen to the poor person too.
Yeah.
That's correct. But a person who accepted his fact, at least he is joy in the situation that he has. If he has God in himself. So the purpose is not having the money, really. Money is not going to bring me joy.
No, that's for sure.
Okay? We have gone through that
much. After, you better have money to call somebody to take you to the bathroom than not have money. And
but how about me coming and becoming old and be as young as 20 years old?
That's
the bracha. Go through the process. Accept the fact of the bracha. Ask for yichud. As soon as you ask for yichud, you have the bracha. And as soon as you have the bracha, you have the possibility of bringing kedusha to your life. And when there is kadosh, Esav is not around. If you don't have kedusha on yourself, you are ready to be hit. And you're going to be hit. And my friend, when the jungle burns, good and bad burns. But as soon as I request for the yichud, I get the bracha. That means as soon as I have lasod nachat ruach l'yosi, l'shem yechud pericha kedushu, I want the bracha for unification. It's there. Yes, please. Yes, please. That's correct. No, it was enough for one day. But it lasted 8 days. Correct.
How come it's disappeared?
Bravo. No, it's not.
And the other question I want to ask another about Hanukkah. You mentioned before that we, as the Jews, have two axioms. One is like Gilgul Neshamot.
Right.
Can you tell us what are all the axioms we have?
Say that again.
I'll
bring you all in writing and give it to you, yes. This is the first one. I believe in God. There is God one. That's the first, that God exists. And God is God of the truth. That's the axiom. That's we believe. I cannot prove it here. I cannot disprove it to you. I cannot neither prove that there is God, and I cannot prove there is no God. So I accept it as an axiom. I cannot prove somebody went to the other world and came back. I can. That's right. And I accept the fact that there is a Gilgul Neshama. And now, slowly, the science is telling us, proving to us, that there is a Gilgul Neshama. Not for everybody. Mind you, the Torah says not for everybody. There are some that they go through the process of Gilgul, and some that they do not go through the process of Gilgul. There is a conditions to all this. The 13 mitzvot, I'll bring it. Now let's go to the first. That why it became 8 days. In reality, it wasn't 8 days because they had one pach of shemen, so for one day it was not miracle. So the miracle should have been really 7 days. Because 1 day is the oil itself. So it's not 8 days, it's really 7 days, if it is miracle. So, the Chachamim, they looked at the light of Hanukkah and they said, you know what? Yeah, this was a mess. But let's not push the save button yet. Let's wait next year. See what happens next year. Maybe it's the time. Why they say that? Because it happened on 25th of Kislev. Now, take Bereshit Bara Elohim and count the words. Bereshit is one word. Bara is another word. Count 25 words. The 25th one is Or. So the Chachamim said, oh, just a moment, maybe there is a period that God wants this specific light, miracle to happen for all life, ever. So let's wait to see next year. And on 25th, same light, same light. And what was this light? What was the difference of this light to any other light? You know the middle light? Look at this menorah. You see the three on the right and the three on the left, they are all converging facing the middle one. The middle one had a specific lightness to it that never was before. It never showed itself. Right on 25th, the year, the following year, that light, again it showed itself. For how many days? 8 days. And that's why Hanukkah became 8 candles for 8 days. Total 36. Lamed Vav. That's the beginning of being a Levi. Because Levi is Lamed Vav Yud. What is Lamed Vav? Is Ele. Is the Tikkun of Israel. Ele Elokecha Israel. I don't want to go deeper than what it is. Slowly through the year, we will have the vessel to go deeper and deeper and deeper, understand the concept of Hanukkah. Hanukkah never going to finish. Hanukkah Purim are two forces that will stay forever. Now, why God gave 8 days? These 8 days, I get the light of Hanukkah to expand my consciousness in the holy way. That means to get rid of all the layers that through Gilgulim was imposed upon me by Galut. Imagine how much your body is resisting to do mitzvot. That how much klipa you got. Is the layer, the shell, that separates the light of God from you. For you to not to be able to see the truth. First thing that you came to me and said, look, this water, come on. Is it different from another water? Yes. My logic, limited logic, says you're crazy. It's the same. Water is water. I know there are some that they abuse it. They say that we put the water behind the Aaron and we're going to pray a week and 2 weeks so the water becomes really kadosh. It's up to you. You want to get fooled? You're fooled. That's fine. Don't fall for it. There is Pesha be Yaakov. There is Ramaut. Yes, please. When you become a Baal Tshuva, are you becoming Tzaddik? No. If you are a Baal Tshuva, you are above Tzaddik.
It's not, you know, complete Baal Tshuva. You always have a sin or two.
Bravo. That means you become a Beinoni. The Hasidut says Beinoni. That means you are in between. One day you are Tzaddik. One day you are Rasha. One day you are a good husband. One day your wife wants to throw you out. That's the story of our life. We're not always good. Sometimes we make mistakes. So Hashem understands that. He says, that's it. It's okay. You're going to get 8 days of this light for you to see the truth. To prepare yourself for more truth to come within you. And you do it like a child. Step at a time, slowly, 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 slowly. That's the force of Hanukkah. That's the force of Hanukkah. When we go through the understand more the geometry of Hanukkah, I had really a lot of beautiful papers for you guys. Oh, yeah, one of them is here. Before you go, any other questions? Yes. Yes. Thought leads to action. So first you have to control the thought. Bravo. That's only with the study Torah. The only way that I will be the owner of my mind is to frame, to limit, not allow my mind to run away with me.
That's harder than controlling.
It's harder because you're trying with your own philosophy to control it. But however, when you do the mitzvot of the Torah, you follow the mitzvot of the Torah, honestly, between you and you, between Donna and Donna, that's it, alone. How many of the mitzvot you do because of the sake of God, as a woman? Don't answer me. It's between you and you. It's between you and your God. As much sincere you are sincerely you become in command of your mind. Because if you don't control your mind, you don't control your actions. Because we say, Sof ma'aseh, b'machshava techila. That means the conclusion of each action is at the beginning of your thought. The end action of your action, the end of your action is at the beginning of your thought. So the importance of controlling your thought, the philosophy, because what is your thought comes out to give you? Philosophy. Explanation. Logic. Doesn't it give you logic? Bona fide, strong logic. And then you fall for it. And when your mind falls for it, your heart and your body is going to follow the mind. First, when the baby comes out, what part comes out? The head. What that tells me? That first is the mind. Control of the mind. And then the rest of the body will follow. Control of the mind only with a study of Torah and implementation of the gvulim. That means limitations that the Torah tells you. For example, 365 things don't do. That's limitation. 248 things, do. But I don't feel like it. Never mind. You have to tell yourself, I'm not interested what you feel like. You do it. Who says so? No, no. You tell to yourself, I say so. If you are able to tell yourself, I say so, you are proactive, you are in control. But if your inner thought says, you know, I don't feel like it. Are you in control? Now, when we say Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, that in reality we say, listen, O Israel, that's a literal translation, God of mercy, our God, is a God of knowledge and they are all one, And the whole is emphasized on Echad, and that's why they truncate the word Echad. Verse opposite to Echad is what? Acher. I don't want to have any other God. I want the God of Echad. That's why I emphasize Echad. And make sure this Dalet, not Resh. When we add all the numerical value is 1,118. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. 1,118. Okay? Now, who created the language of Hebrew? Hear this. We have an energy called Nachash, which is the snake, plus energy of Chamor, which is the aspect of laziness and Gashmiut, material world, and Shor. What is Shor? Bull. What a bull does? Why they put a red color to the front of the, huh? Why red makes him crazy? Is that what blood represents? Bravo. Desire to receive. It's red. It's the color of receiving. Yes. Now you add all these together, you get 1,118. However, we haven't finished. Here we go. If you take Adam, you know what Adam is. You add the energy of Re'iya. One of the senses that we see is Re'iya, to see. Plus Shmiya. Plus Reicha, Reach. And plus, what else do we have in our face? Dibur. Is equal? 1,118. Which means? What that means? I am. Which means, Adam. Who is Adam? It's not human. Everybody is human. But then not every human is Adam. No. There is a human. He acts like an animal. He's not human. He acts like a donkey. He's a snake. He's not Adam. Adam. Plus the sense of Reya that God gives him to see. God gives him to hear. God gave him to smell. And God, this is the four senses here. In the Adam, in the face. For what purpose? For what purpose? To say, Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Echad, to bring unification. And if you think God gave you a good power of seeing, smelling, listening, and talking for purpose of talking gibberish, and looking at things that you are not supposed to look, and hear things that you are not supposed to hear, that does not bring unification between you and your God. You are the Nachash, the Chamor, and the Shor. And now, what is the Nachash? Is you are the snake? You are the Chamor, the donkey, the ass, and the shore. That means a person that only reacts rather than proacts. Go ahead. Now you at least you realize why God gave you eyes. Why God gives you the power to smell. Where do you put your Your nose. What do you put into your nose? What kind of a word comes out of your mouth? It brings unification. Any word comes out of your mouth is the cause of unification. Whatever you see is the cause of unification. Echad. What you hear. Because if it is not, you are in a department of another 1,118. Now this 1,118 is a very significant number in Kabbalah. As we see, it wasn't the hocus pocus putting those things and come out with a number. The totality of the four senses that God has put in your head, which is the department of your thought. You want your thought to control? You really want to control your thought? Control your eyes? Can you control your eyes not to see what you're not supposed to see? Can you put your head away and not to see?
What are you not supposed to
see? Bravo. Hold on, one by one. Can I control if somebody, I'm standing somewhere and stinks, what am I going to do? You go away. But if you stick around, who is to blame?
Yourself.
Take the action. In order to slowly put limitations so my mind understands. Absolutely. The action of study and doing the mitzvot comes prior to you controlling the mind. Don't you think that you decided today you be a little bit more observing Jew, so therefore that entitles you to control your mind already and be in charge. Takes time. A lot of time. A lot of exams. A lot of effort. But it specifically tells you, you start with controlling your four senses in your head in order to be in control of your mind. Then it brings unification to you. Why do we have chaos in our mind? What is chaos? And we have chaos in our mind. Because we don't have Echad. Because we don't have Shalom. We have Acher. We have other gods in our head. We have other priorities in our head. So we have implanted other priorities. Elohim Acherim. Other gods are running our show. But if I control my eyes and I control my what I should listen or what should not listen, what I should smell and what I should not smell, what I should say, what should come out of, as soon as I have the control of it, I have a control of my mind. But can I control? Okay, now, how can I control my eyes? Where do I find out a limitation of my eyes? Ein. Listen. I'm sure all of us, we have had experience of boyfriends and girlfriends. Would you like to go with your boyfriend or girlfriend or your husband and your wife to a restaurant? And you're sitting, having a very intimate time together. I love you, a big bouquet of chocolate and flowers and... But suddenly, while we are talking, a beautiful woman crosses the street. Come on. Yeah, looky-looky is okay. No touchy-touchy, only looky-looky is okay. That is a big question right here. You want to bring a chad with yourself? Come on, what's the matter with you? How sincere are you? How honest you are? Oh, it's okay, I'm not touching, I'm not doing anything, I'm not going anywhere. Come on, just looky-looky, God created something beautiful. That's the Yavan in you. That's the Esav in you. He said, hey, she's not going to go anywhere. The flower already did the work, you got the guarantee. Never mind. Enjoy at the meantime. That's why you should control your eyes. There are certain programs you shouldn't watch. You shouldn't. Who said so? You say to yourself. Why? Because it arouses certain things in me that I don't want it to arouse. Very simple. I know if I pick up a certain magazine and I go through this magazine, certain things biologically going to happen in me and I cannot fight it. What am I going to do? Going to buy the magazine? I'm not going to say the magazine. I'm not going to buy. I'm not going to go. I know if I go to this street, I'm going to fall. I know. There is a zona standing in the middle. We talked about it. There is one. Say, oh, where are you going? You want to have fun? Come get into my limousine. I'll take you to the best places. This is reality of the galut. This is reality. But we think it is so innocent. We say, it is so okay. It's no problem. Come on. It's my friend. You know where they? Who takes you to the wrong places? Tell me who's your friend. I tell you who you are. Labriot. Yes, please, ask me the question.
You are saying if you're going to control yourself and do everything what God tells you, the Torah tells you, then you're going to be alone.
I said that?
No, but you were just saying today, like, if you're going to keep doing everything straight, you're going to be alone. Because nobody else.
Look how you're explaining it. Listen to yourself.
No, I have a question.
Ask me the question.
The question. I think I understand it wrong.
Why is it wrong?
Because you shouldn't be alone. You should be with people who are doing the same thing.
You're going to separate from your family.
Is that you think the Torah is there to separate you?
No, it's not. But not too many people really follow the right things. Not too many.
Now, why do I say that tell me who are your friends, I tell you who you are?
I'm not saying about friends. Just
And what it is to be alone.
Majority is not following the rules. Majority is watching, like you're saying.
Who's majority? What is the majority is right?
No.
So why do you go with majority? Why do you go with numbers? If it is numbers, look, there are more Christians than there are Jews. So why not the whole world doesn't become Christian? Because the majorities are Christian. Huh? And the least, you know what is the percentage of the Jews in the whole world? 0.005 is the number of the Jews.
Even from the Jews.
Yeah. How about one-fifth? One-fifth. Is the number going to really scare me? You know how puts fear in you that I am going to be alone. My friends are not going to be with me anymore. Oh, my friends want to go, you know, to this restaurant. I won't be able to go it anymore. Look at the fear putting in you.
Fact.
No, come on. What is it?
It's just too bad not everybody understands. Not too many people taking Kabbalah.
Takes one at a time. Can you control the eyes and the ears and the what you smell and what you say? Start it with yourself. Irrelevant of who is doing the other. What's the difference? Who was the first person against the whole world say God is one? Abraham. The whole world said God is many gods. And here comes one person and said, no, God is only one. And he didn't go because the whole world says, the whole world will turn around and say, you're stupid. The whole world says that the world is flat. You want to prove it's round? You remember that period of the war in our evolution of our mind? One day, if you said the world is round, they would kill you, hang you. Yeah, it was a fact. They did. If they said they kill you. But in reality, the world was really round. But they believed it is flat. Now, is there any other things that we believe it is the way it's supposed to be, and later on we're going to find out it's different? Yes. So therefore, when am I going to find the truth, what the fact is, irrelevant of all the fears in the world? The Torah. That's the only book that I can make a reference to godliness. The truth. It's hard, doesn't make sense. But if it was easy, all the world would have become Jews. To be Jewish is not for everybody. And you know how many came out of Egypt? Only 1/5. And you think how many you're going to finish? Only 1/5. It's not guaranteed that every one of us we're going to finish it. We got to prep. There is, and many philosophies, they say that there is going to be a Gog and Magog. What is Gog and Magog? When things, they don't make any more sense. Come on. This brain, it gives up. Started. We are in it. Go look outside. 99% of the people in the world are bamboozled. Look at the whole world today. Aren't they bamboozled? They don't know what to do. They don't know how to stop it. It's going crazy. Everywhere. Everywhere. It's just becoming ridiculous. Every time you open any channel, any news, it's only bad news. There's no good news. Now, imagine... Don't we say mind over matter? What is mind over matter? That's the physics proves it. Mind over matter. That's called dynamic physics. It's mind over matter. Mind controls the matter. Correct your mind. You correct your environment. You suddenly you will acquire different friends. If you change yourself, you attract different people. You become alcoholic, you attract alcoholic to you. You become artist, you attract artists to you. You become a Jew, you attract Jews to you. You act like a goy, you attract goy to you. It's logic. It all depends on your choice. You make your choice. You find your way. And what's the light of Hanukkah? Is to make, give me the possibility to fight this philosophy. This philosophy that we gathered through all the Gilgulim. And the one that affected us most, the highest klipa, most difficult klipa to break, is the Yavan. It's the Greek philosophy. Because it's best for our body. Our body enjoys it. Our body testifies it is the truth. Question. Is there any taker for a Hanukkah candelier? Yes? Baruch Hashem. No, take it two. Bravo. I got the two. I done. God bless you all. Now, we say Gaddish. Question. There was a question right there. Yes, please. Okay, let me reveal, I got you. Bravo, thank you. What is Purim really? It's the time that the Jews, the unification of the Jews with God brought an energy called Mashiach. That means they were saved beyond imagination from a total destruction. They brought Mashiach. Right? And what is Hanukkah? We said Hanukkah is slowly to prepare yourself to receive the light of Mashiach. Now, what is to prepare and receive the light of Mashiach? Prepare is Hanukkah. To receive the light of Mashiach is Purim. And these two lights gonna stay forever and ever. Now, what that means? When Jacob went to fight its own Esav, when they were wrestling, the angel realized that cannot really take over Jacob, what did he do? The Torah says that he literally destroyed his sciatic nerve. That's Gid Anasheh. That's why we cannot eat this nerve. What is this nerve? When they knock it, when there is, God forbid, somebody's sciatic nerve gets hard, what happens? Can you walk? You walk like a lame person. And the Torah says that Yaakov became lame. But however, when he reached Shechem, he was Shalem, he was good. Now, there is a big secret here. What is this? He says the energy of these two energy, where the nerve of sciatic nerve passes through, it's called Netzach Vahod. It's the energy of Moshe and Aharon. These two places. Follow. At the same time, these places is a connection of Nevoah. What is Nevoah? It's prophecy. Follow. What did this angel did? He disconnected Jacob from the force of Nevoah, of connecting to prophecy. That's why a Jew is supposed to be connected to God and be prophesizing continuously. What is prophecy?
To predict.
To see future. To go to realm of a future and to see the future. That's the Nevoah. This belonged to a Jew. He took it away. The light of Hanukkah, by the way, and Purim establishes this column of Nevoah. Now, how do I get a Nevoah? In your dream. Why some people dream and the dream is clear to the point? To the literally, you know what happens. Now, I said that to the other class. I tell you, not that God forbid I prophesize. Each has his own domain. But I had about 2 months ago, my car stolen. But 2 weeks prior of stealing the car, I had a dream that my car is stolen. It's going to get stolen. But I didn't know what to do about it. I did not know what to do with it. But I knew this is going to happen. Now, why this happened in my life? What was the lesson, the least lesson for me? That there is a possibility to know an action that's going to happen in future. It can happen. I can say this to myself. Why? Because I had the dream, and I literally went through the process. I saw it. There is beyond shadow of a doubt for me, because I know the dream. I wasn't once even. I feel it. Now, each one of us can learn our dream, and learn the language of a dream, and establish this knowledge. Because in reality, time is relative. Time is, we say Bereshit. Bereshit means what? Begin. As soon as it says Bereshit bara, it means the beginning of time. Now, what was introduction to the time? If it was the beginning, what was the introduction? So there must be something prior time, that there wasn't time. Now, is everything existed before? Yes. Yes. So I can tap into a domain that there is no aspect of time. God allows a Jew to tap into this energy through dream. But it depends to what? I am the luckiest person that this happened. Number one. Number two, you looked at it, that you know what? You lost. How about...
You lost. Huh? You knew what was going to happen, but it happened anyway. So what?
But I was ready for it.
You were ready for it? You were ready for it?
But when it happened,
you were like, oh, wow, that's a coincidence, but you were still very shocked. It's no coincidence.
This is coincidence. Knowing me, would I accept this as a coincidence?
No, I'm not saying that.
So let's keep it. I absolutely... Now, God works in the mysterious ways. We don't have much time. I want to go through it. God works in the mysterious ways. Why? Again, I don't want to make it a boosting, but again, it's I hope you don't take it as boosting. But when you honestly, at least, you force yourself to go the way and behave as a Jew, you spend your time, you have extra time, you put it in a Torah and you try to do, to work on yourself to become better. You literally go to your wife, father, brother, children, and you recognize through them as your mirror of your life how you can better yourself, and you better yourself, and you sincerely work. You really don't have to go and look for a new car. God brings the situation in such a way that renews the car for you. But you don't believe it. There are certain things you don't have time to do. You just simply don't have time. So God brings about the circumstances so it gets done for you. You guys don't believe it, but this is the truth. I don't have time, honestly, to go to Macy's and Bloomingdale's and, once in a upon time, I love them. I have my wife here, so, she knows me for 39 years, so practically, carte blanche, she knows the in and out. And I love it, but I honestly don't have time to do it anymore. I love to do it. Oh, yeah. I enjoy it, even not to buy it. I enjoy to go and see what's the style and what is nice and what goes and all that. But I don't have the time. But I like it. So God sent somebody in some circumstances and some situation. They do it for you. Not for free. Still costs you money. You pay for it. God works in mysterious ways. I'll tell you one thing. I should shut it off, but